Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Jehovah Witness leader J.F. Rutherford made the brazen statement, "Baptism has nothing to do with the remission of sins." Welcome to our study of baptism. What do the scriptures teach concerning baptism? Is baptism just an outward sign of an inward grace? Is it something you do after you're saved to be identified with a religious group or with certain teachings? Is baptism essential to salvation? Today we're going to look at what the purpose of baptism is and what the scriptures teach concerning baptism. As in all our studies, we're not concerned with what people think. For the Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." We're concerned with the great question of Jeremiah 37, verse 17. Is there any word from the Lord? What does the Scripture say? Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. And so what are the purposes of baptism according to the New Testament? First, we noted that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. That is, a person's sins are not removed until and at the point of baptism. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, after they had cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What can we do to overcome crucifying our own Messiah?" Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Baptism is for the remittal or the removal of sin. Now, that's essential because it is sin that separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and it is sin that causes spiritual death, Romans 6, 23, Ezekiel 18, 4. If such is the case, then whatever point sin is removed, I know that is essential to salvation. Acts 22, 16 again teaches that baptism is the point sin is removed. Saul was told, "You go into the city, and it'll be told you what you must do." Ananias comes to him and says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Sins are washed away at the point of baptism, and thus it is essential to salvation. So the first purpose of baptism, it is for the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, baptism is essential for salvation, meaning a person cannot be saved until he's baptized. Someone says, "Are you saying that you can't be right with God? You can't be saved unless you're baptized? That baptism is essential to salvation?" Absolutely. That's exactly what the Scriptures teach. Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism does now also save us. Multitudes of people say, "Oh, baptism doesn't save." That's in direct opposition to 1 Peter 3:21 that says baptism does now also save us. How much clearer could God be? Think of the words of Mark 16, verse 16. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." If Peter said baptism does now save us, and if Jesus said belief and baptism are both essential to salvation, how could anyone dare say that baptism is not essential to salvation when God so clearly says that it is? Baptism is essential to get to heaven. John 3, verses 3 through 5, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. "Teacher, we know that you're a good teacher. No one can do the things you do unless God is with him." And Jesus just cuts to the chase. "Unless one is born again, he can't enter the kingdom," Jesus said. And Nicodemus doesn't understand. "You want me to go back in my mother's womb and be born a second time? How can I do that?" And then Jesus makes it even clearer. "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You can't get in God's kingdom, which is the church, Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19, and which will ultimately be those in heaven, 1 Corinthians 15, 24, unless you are born of water, baptism, and the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:25, we're born again by the Word of God, you can't get into God's kingdom. And so, yes, it's essential to go to heaven that one must be baptized. Well, baptism is also required for a person to get into Jesus Christ. Now, here's how this is essential. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse 3, all spiritual blessings are ours in Christ. So all spiritual blessings are in Christ. According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, salvation is also in Christ. And so if in your mind you can imagine there's a circle, and inside this circle are all spiritual blessings. Inside this circle is salvation, and that circle is represents being in Christ. How does a person get in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are and where salvation is? Galatians 3:27 tells us, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If I'm baptized into Christ, and if I've got to be in Christ because salvation is there and all spiritual blessings are there, then friend, I've got to be baptized to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, all you got to do is believe in Christ. The Bible doesn't say that. Oh, the Bible teaches you've got to believe. John 8:24, Jesus said that. But the Bible also teaches faith alone won't save. James 2 and verse 24. And so baptism puts me into Christ. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, we're buried with Him in baptism, in which we access the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism is also for the reason, for the purpose of putting one into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does one get into the Lord's church? Are they voted in? Do they just up and join? How do you get into the church Jesus established? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, as many of us as were baptized into Christ to put on Christ, Galatians 3:27, and the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 that we were baptized into by one Spirit. We're all baptized into one body. Now, what's the body? According to Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, the body is the church. If the body is the church and we're baptized into that one body, then the only way to get in the one church is to be baptized into that church, that kingdom. Think about Acts chapter 2. When Peter proclaimed the gospel that Jesus was both Lord and Christ, when those people heard the word, they cried out with repentant heart, asking, what must we do to be saved? Peter responded by saying, you've got to repent and be baptized. And then Acts 2:41 tells us, those who gladly received His word were baptized. And how did those people get into the church? Acts 2 verse 47, the Bible tells us that those who were being saved, God added to the church. The Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. When they obeyed God's will, which included hearing the word, believing in Jesus, repenting of sin, and being baptized in water, they were added to the church. Just as 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, you can't get in the church without being born into that one body. We're born by water and the Spirit, John 3 and verse 5. Now, here's why that's essential. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, that Jesus is one day going to deliver the church, the kingdom, to the Father. If the kingdom or the church is going to the Father, then I want to be in that kingdom so I can be with the Father in heaven. You've got to be baptized into that kingdom, into that church, so you can be sure that you're on the road to heaven when Jesus does come back. Another purpose for baptism is that it is how one is born again. Often hear people talk about being born again. I want to be a born again Christian. Well, how is a person born again? I know that we do get a second chance. For 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 clearly teaches, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. I get a second chance, but how do I get that second chance? How am I born again? We're born again by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, 1 Peter 1, verse 23, meaning as we submit our lives to the teaching of Jesus in Scripture, we become born again. But at what point am I born again? John 3 and verse 5, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I am born again. That new birth is the bath of rebirth, Titus 3 verses 3 through 5, which occurs at the point of baptism when my sins are washed away, Acts 22:16, when I get a second chance and when I come in contact with the soul-saving blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. Baptism, another purpose for baptism, is that it is the point at which one calls on the name of the Lord. I often hear people say, and they'll quote Acts 2:21, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And indeed, the Scripture does say that we've got to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, but what does that mean? What does that mean to really call on the name of the Lord? How do you do that according to the Bible? Well, let's let the Bible tell us. Let's let the Bible be its own divine commentary. Acts chapter 22:16. Saul is told by an Ananias, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Listen, calling on the name of the Lord. According to the Bible, you're saved when you call on the name of the Lord by getting up and doing what God says, which includes and is tied directly to being baptized to have your sins washed away. The idea of calling on the Lord is that we realize we're lost in sin. We realize we can't save ourselves, and so we call out, "God, help us with the sin problem." God makes the way of salvation, and thus, when we call on God's name correctly, we get up and do what God has said to be saved, which includes, according to Acts 22:16, being baptized. Well, baptism is also the point at which one contacts the blood of Jesus. According to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, we are buried with Christ into His death at the point of baptism. Christ's death and tied in with His blood, all being tied in together, you can't contact the blood of Jesus without being baptized, because that's where we contact His death. Now, why is that essential? Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins." The Bible teaches that Jesus, this man, offered Himself one-time sacrifice for all for sin. I want to access Jesus' sacrifice. I want to access His blood. How do I do that? We're washed in His blood, Revelation 1, verses 4 and 5, and we're buried with Him in baptism through death into His death at the point of baptism. If the blood of Jesus saves, and it does, then I only contact that blood in His death at the point of baptism when I die to sin and I'm buried with Him in water, according to Romans 6, verses 3 through 4. Well, another purpose of baptism is one must be baptized to obey the commands of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 48, Peter commanded Cornelius and his house, he commanded them to be baptized. It is a command of God. Matthew 7:21 clearly says it's not everybody that looks up into heaven and says, "Lord, Lord," that's going to heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus asked the haunting question to the Jewish elite, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Here you are, you're calling me your Lord, and you're not even doing what I say. Can't you see the contradiction? If Jesus says you must be baptized, it is a command of God, Acts 10:48, and people then don't do that, can they be right with God? Can you fail to obey a command of God and be saved? Well, of course not. You'll be lost if you do that. And so what does the Scripture teach concerning baptism? The Scripture teaches it's for the forgiveness of sins. It is essential to salvation. You can't get into the kingdom of God without being baptized. You can't be born again, and you cannot access the blood of Jesus Christ unless you contact His death and His blood at the point of baptism. Friend, there are a lot of people. Listen carefully. There are a lot of people who teach that baptism is not essential. Don't buy into that. We've seen and we've mentioned clear scriptures today which make it abundantly evident that to be saved, you must be baptized. Maybe someone taught you that wasn't right. Maybe someone taught you that all you had to do was believe or say the sinner's prayer. Friend, we kindly and lovingly say to you today, you are not saved. You're lost in sin, but you can obey God's will and be baptized. We want to help you with that. We want you to become a Christian more than anything. We want to see you go to heaven. We pray that you'll study with us. For in our next lesson, we're going to answer objections to baptism as we study the Scriptures together.